Hi, this is Eric Elder, and welcome to Live from the Ranch. We're broadcasting a message tonight about recharging your batteries. And if you're like me, you get tired and you get worn out, and you need a place where you can go. You need something that you can plug into, that you can renew your strength, and you can come back again and do the things that God has called you to do. But the problem sometimes is, where do we plug in? How exactly do we rekindle our strength? And there was a story about a man, you may have heard this, who said that he never got hungry, he never got thirsty, and he never got tired. And someone asked him, how did you do that, not get hungry or thirsty or tired? He says, well, I eat before I get hungry, and I drink before I get thirsty, and I sleep before I get tired. And as amusing as that may be, there's actually truth in that, that we can actually, throughout our time, we can do an in-flight refueling, and I'll explain that later, about how sometimes we don't even have to come back down to refuel. We can stay up there and refuel while we're in mid-flight. And God has a way that we can do that, and that's to plug in to the same thing that Jesus plugged into. So tonight, I want to take you through some of the things that Jesus did as he performed some of his greatest miracles in front of some of the largest crowds, and yet he had a special source of power that he went to that when he needed strength, when he needed to get plugged in and recharged one more time. So if you'd like to learn from the master teacher, Jesus himself, I invite you to join me for the rest of this message live from the ranch. We have some message notes on the screen that you can take a look at if you would like to follow along with me. I'd also like you to read some of these because they contain scriptures that you can look at and just get some encouragement as well. So if you would look at those on your screen right now, just go back to the screen where you came from, pull up the message notes where it says message notes, and I'm going to play a little bit on the piano, and I'd like you just to read the four or five verses that are listed there while I'm playing. And you can just read those and just talk to God while I play the piano and just ask him to speak to you tonight through this message. Thank you. I love that last verse on there that talks about it was one of those days when Jesus had to get away. I'll come back to that in a minute, but have you ever had one of those days where you just needed to get away and you just needed to spend some time with the Lord? Look at some of those days with me in Mark chapter 6, verse 31, where Jesus found his source of power. This first point of the 3 points that I want to make tonight is to plug into the source, go to prayer, just like Jesus did. In Mark 6, 31, it says, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." This is something that Jesus was telling his disciples as the crowds were so numerous. It says in verse 31, "Because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" Jesus and his disciples were so busy and they were so flogged by people looking for healing, looking for the way of eternal life, that they would sometimes not even be able to eat. The crowds were so much. So Jesus very much validated a time to withdraw, even when there are demands all around us, and Jesus and the disciples could have healed many more people who were there. They knew that they needed to get away and get some rest, and so they withdrew for a period of time. It wasn't very long, though, because you'll see in Matthew 14, 23, that the crowds followed them, and he did the miracle of bringing 5,000 people food, and it was after that that he once again told the disciples, he said, after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. So once again, Jesus was getting away. On his way to getting away, people came to him, and he went ahead and did a miracle and worked with them, but then he continued on his journey to go ahead and get away, and he spent some time on a mountainside to pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, he went with some disciples, but he also said, "Stay here for a while I go over there and pray." And this last verse here in Luke 6, verse 11 through 12, it says, "One of those days, Jesus went out on a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God." This is the power source, the ultimate power source that we can plug into. When we plug into the Creator of the universe, when we can put our cord and just go right to Him and draw our strength from Him, that is the ultimate way that we can get energy, we can get life, and we can have the abundant life that Jesus talks about. Look at what happened, though, in this verse. In verse 11, it says that Jesus had done a great healing. It was on a Sabbath day, and some of the teachers of the law got very upset with him. And in verse 11, it says, "But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus." This is when they first began plotting to kill Jesus. The next verse says, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray." I would say Jesus was having one of those days when here you do a miraculous healing and people are out to get you. They're out to kill him. They actually wanted to come and take his very life. You may have had some of those days as well. And look at what he did when he went away to pray. This brings us to our next point, which I've called stick to your knitting. What Jesus did was he found out from the Father what he was to do next. He knew that people were plotting to take his life, and the very next verse after he prayed, he said, "When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them to be apostles." Somehow Jesus foreknew that something was going to happen to him and that he was going to lose his life. So God had told him to call 12 apostles who could take the message of Christ even further after Jesus was killed. And so Jesus came down from that praying that night with his next steps clearly in mind. So one, when we go away to pray, we're recharging our own batteries. We're getting strength. We're just getting some time away to rest. But two, God will give us our next steps. He'll tell us what to do next so that we can go out and do what he's called us to do. And on this point, I want to say that when God tells you what to do what God tells you, no more and no less. Stick to your knitting is what it's called in business circles. When a company starts to stray too much from what they were created to do, what the company was formed to do, they seem to lose some of their momentum, they lose their purpose, they lose their focus. And in successful business books, they say a company ought to stick to their knitting, stick to what they know best, and invest their time and energy in what God has called them to do. Now, a company may not use the God strategy or the knitting analogy that I've just used, but God wants us to use that. He says, I've called you for a reason. I've called you to do something. And when you do that very thing, you will find peace and rest and fulfillment. Then come back to me again when you need a little more peace and a little more direction in your life. Here's a couple examples of people who needed to stick to their knitting. In Acts 6, verse 2 through 4, if you have a Bible and would like to turn there with me. Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. This is the story where the disciples were together and they were having some complaints that they needed help with the distribution of food to the widows. There were people that were needing food. And so the complaints came to the disciples, what are we going to do about this food problem and how are we going to handle it? And you'll see in verse 2 through 4 what they did. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Here the disciples, the 12, knew what they needed to do, and they needed to take the message of God forward, and they needed to devote their time to ministry and to prayer, and to not be distracted by something that was a very good thing and a godly thing, the distribution of food, but it wasn't their calling. They were called to minister. They were called to pray. And so they said, let's call some other godly people who God has called to do this, and they found 7 who they believed were called to do it, and they said, now you 7, please take care of this. We'll turn this responsibility over to you. And one of those was Stephen, who later became a martyr and testified about the great power of God. He did great things for God, even in the distribution of food, the thing that he was called to do. So as long as the disciples stuck to what they needed to do, they wouldn't lose their focus and be distracted. The same thing was happening to Moses. If you'll turn back to Exodus 18, where he began to be overwhelmed and overburdened by the things that God had called him to do. And his father-in-law Jethro came to give him some advice. This is Exodus chapter 18. It starts in verse 13 through 23. But let's just start at verse 17 and just take a look. You can look at the rest of it later. It says, Moses' father-in-law looked at what Moses was doing, and he said, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Then he says, listen to me while I give you some advice. And what was happening was all the people were coming to Moses every day because they wanted to hear a word from God. They needed to hear from God what to do, how to decide matters and cases, and what God's will was for their life. And Moses felt that was what he was called to do, an obligation of his. But he had so many people out in the desert, 500,000 perhaps, that were out there wandering with him, and they were all coming to him on various days wanting God's will. So what Jethro, his father-in-law, said in verse 23, if you do this, which is to turn over his responsibility to several other trusted men and appoint them over some of the people so that people, when they have a problem, could come to another godly man, hear some wisdom, and then go back. And if it got too difficult, they could bring it to Moses. But otherwise, the people who were in charge could take care of it. Jethro said, if you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. It says Moses listened to this advice and did everything he said. He chose capable men, and in this way, Moses established a way that he could continue to do what God called him to do, which was to lead the people. But he could lead by turning over some responsibility to others. So I want to encourage you on this second point, that as Jesus tells you what to do and God explains these next steps to you, that you would just stick to those. Stick to your knitting. Do what God has called you to do. And there may be things come up that you need to do. But for the most part, make sure you stay with what God has called you to do. And if you can find other people to carry on some of the other responsibilities, do that, they'll be satisfied, the people they're ministering to will be satisfied, and you will be satisfied as well. Now the third point that I want to mention tonight has to do with a concept called in-flight refueling. In fact, I put a picture on your screen there in the message notes of an airplane who is being refueled as he's flying in the air. There are actually 2 of those airplanes. And there's a third airplane that's pulled up next to them and has dropped some tethers, gasoline cables, that go and connect to those planes. And because this third plane is much larger and bigger, it can carry a lot of gas, and it refuels those two fighter jets. So those two fighter jets never have to come back down. They can stay up in the air. The big tanker goes back down, gets more gas whenever they need to, and refuels them while they're still in the air. We need to do that sometimes. Sometimes we don't have time to get away. We don't have time to go and take a retreat. We don't have time to take a vacation. But we need to mid-flight refuel. And we can do that by coming to God. Here's three practical steps for doing that. Rick Warren suggests these. He runs a church of 13,000 people. And he's got these three practical pieces of wisdom. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. These are ways that we can get our focus while we're going, as we're going through the day. On the divert daily, there's a verse in Psalm 5:3 that talks about coming to God every day. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation. This was David, and he says, in the morning I come and I lay my requests before you, God, and I wait in expectation. This is a daily diversion from whatever David had to do for the day. And you could divert in other ways. You can divert, just go and do something that's enjoyable to you for a period of time, just to get away from the distractions. It's like if you're working your whole life just to get to retirement and hope to enjoy life by the time you're 65, you've missed the best years of your life, working up until that point. So you need to take moments throughout your life and not live for what's down the road, but to live for every day. Divert daily. Second point, withdraw weekly. This again is a biblical concept, the concept of the Sabbath day. And on the seventh day, we take a rest. It's good that our society is still structured around this, where we have the weekends away and we have a seven-day calendar. Imagine if we only had a three-day calendar and you take one day off. Or imagine if we had no days off, no weekends whatsoever, like they did in communist Russia, where you go straight through. There's 30 days in a month and you go. There's no such thing as weekends. There's no such things as a Sabbath rest. It is so good that we actually take a break once a week to be with God, to be with our family, to get away from the things that we do all week long. If you're not doing that, I encourage you to do that, whether it's on a Saturday or Sunday or a Monday or whatever day. Just take a day a week just to get away and to just do something that's different than what you do throughout the week. It's a good day for you to fellowship with God and to be refreshed. Jesus himself said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Meaning, the Sabbath was made for us. It was made for us to have rest. It was made as a God-given example when he created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. God made that example from the beginning of time for us to follow so that we could have a day of rest every week and get refreshed. Thirdly, abandon annually. And again, this is a biblical concept of taking a vacation, getting away, having a festival before the Lord. Various places in the Bible, there were these festivals where people were to get away. In Leviticus 23:39, there was one where it said, celebrate this festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is the Sabbath, and the eighth day is the Sabbath, and all the days in between. You are just to celebrate before the Lord as a festival. So there are times ordained by God in the Bible where we can divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. In this way, we'll be able to refuel as we go through life in the day-to-day things that we do. And we'll be able to get refreshed and get the energy we need to go on. If you need to go back over these notes and just take a look at them this week, maybe every day, just take a look at these notes and just say, okay, what can I do today to divert? What can I do this week to withdraw or this year to abandon? It might help you just to digest some of these concepts. If you are not a Christian, if you've not followed Christ before, these same principles apply to you. They are truths, just like gravity is a truth that works whether you believe it in or not. You don't have to believe that things fall down to stumble and trip and fall down. These are biblical truths, they're spiritual truths, that if you take time away, if you can divert yourself and take time away and get recharged like Jesus did, they will work for your life. But there's one thing that won't work for your life accidentally, and that is your eternal life. If you want to get to heaven, you do need to become a Christian. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me." We must, as human beings, put our faith in Christ so that we can have eternal life. And if you want that rest that comes eternally for the rest of your life, then you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. It won't just happen automatically. We actually have a decision to make. And I want to invite you to make that decision tonight as well. So if you have not made that decision to follow Christ, it's very simple. He's already done the work for you. He died on a cross to pay the price for your sins so that you wouldn't have to. You know that you sin. You know that you do things that God doesn't want you to do. God says, repent, turn from those sins, and follow Christ. And if you put your faith in Christ, that He already died for those sins and paid the penalty for your sins and mine, then you don't have to pay those penalties, and you can come free to God again, not only in this life, but for eternal life. We're going to pray after I play a song here, and we'll pray specifically for you if you need to make that decision tonight. We'll also be praying for you if you need the refreshment and the recharging of God. I want to play a quiet song here for a minute that you can just reflect before God and have a few minutes just to recharge right now, right where you are, whether you're watching this at work during the week, later in the week, or if you're watching this live right now. I want you to just take some time right where you are, close your eyes, and just focus on God. And just come to the Father as Jesus did and say, God, I need you. I need your strength. I need your refreshment. Fill me up and show me what to do next. God will do it. I believe it. He said it and He's done it for me. And I know He will do it for you. Let me play and you just enjoy your time with God. Then we'll come back and pray together in Jesus' name. Let me say a prayer for you. Lord, I just pray that you would bless this person watching right now, this couple watching right now. Lord, these friends and people that I've never met before, Lord, but you know them. You know them very well. God, I pray that you would meet them at their point of need. I pray that you would refresh them, strengthen them, send your Holy Spirit to fill them up to overflowing, that they could go back out and do the things you have called them to do. God, I pray you'd show them their next steps and help them stick to their knitting and do those things, no more and no less. I pray they would take great fulfillment in knowing they're doing what you've called them to do and not feel the pressures of others or even of themselves, Lord. I pray they would only feel a desire and a burden to do what you tell them to do and a great joy when that's accomplished. God, for anyone who's not yet put their faith in you, I pray that tonight, even right now, they would watch and they would want to follow you. For you have the words of eternal life. You are so worth following. I thank you for your principles and your guidance, and I thank you that you make a way for us to come to heaven. Right now, I pray wherever they are, they would just say, God, I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for the things I've done. I ask you to forgive me, and I believe that your son died for me so I wouldn't have to. I ask you to take over my life, help me make my decisions, and be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a great thing to come to God and be refreshed and be recharged. I hope tonight has charged you up a little bit more, and I hope it encourages you to charge up every day, every week, and every year. Life is too short not to enjoy from now on, now until Jesus comes back, and every now and then we just need to get away and just enjoy some time with God. I know it's hard. I know things are busy. I know it seems impossible sometimes. I encourage you to do it, though. God will meet you, and he will refresh you. And he will restore you. And even if, like Jesus, when he was trying to get away, he got interrupted and had to feed 5,000 people when he only had 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, some impossible request, but he fulfilled it through God's power. The same way, he continued on his path to go and get away. And I pray you would do that. Even if you're interrupted in your plan to get away, that you would go ahead and do it. I have just finished also a devotional that we're going to put in print as well as put on this CD of this piano music that I'm going to put on the website. It's freely available to you out on the website. And so I hope you will take advantage of that and listen to some of the music called Clear My Mind. Just let God clear your mind and read some of the pages of the devotional. They'll be up in another week or two where you'll be able to read through this devotional called 2 Weeks with God and enjoy just spending some quiet time every morning soaking up things from the Lord and telling him what's on your heart. So look for that in the next 2 weeks or so on the website. If you'd like a copy of it in print or on the CD, you're welcome to send me an email and we'll get a copy to you. We just want you to be blessed. We want you to know that God can clear your mind. God can recharge your batteries and he can restore your soul to eternal life. If you'd like to chat with us further, I'll be on the chat line after this broadcast at the ranch.org, and there's a talk to someone page. Go to the chat room at the ranch, and I will be there, and a few others will be there to talk and pray with you, or we can talk in private with you. If you'd like to reach me during the week, there's a way you can reach me on ICQ, and those directions are on the talk to someone page, or you can email me at pokey@theranch.org. I'm so glad you joined me, and I hope you come back again for another segment of Live from the Ranch.